Good to be here, folks. All right. I've made 33 of these. And that way you'll have an opportunity to view it, that little map right there. I want you to see that because that bears directly on what I'll be talking about this morning. Father, bless the study of your word, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, turn the book of Psalm with me this morning, please. The book of Psalms, first. In chapter number 2, verse number 1. Psalm 2, verse 1. All right, the second psalm, chapter number 2, and verse 1. The scripture says, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." That's a conspiracy. And the conspiracy has been going on now for a long time, long before I ever showed up. Conspiracy is deep and ingrained. Now let me say something at the outset of our study this morning, because it's very important to understand this. As you study secret societies and the makeup of the world conspiracy, in my study, I have found, and I personally believe that I'm on the right track, that Satan never puts all of his eggs in one basket. I firmly believe that the method of bringing about a one-world government and the conspiratorial aspect of this thing deals with a lot of different areas, not just one. But this morning we're going to focus upon the founding of the capital of the United States. I did not plan this, but it just so happens to fall upon the day before the 4th of July. I didn't plan it. And I wasn't even thinking about it last week when I mentioned that this morning we'd be talking about Washington, D.C. Now, Washington, D.C., of course, stands for the District of Columbia, named Washington, coming from our first president. The District of Columbia is not a state, although they have tried on numerous occasions to make it a state, and therefore giving it two senators and giving it a voice in government and so forth and so on. You go home and think long and hard on what that implies. But in any event, We have the founding of Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. It was not an afterthought, and it did not just grow up. Everything about it was planned a long time before it ever happened. There's some conflicting opinion about some of the events that led up to it and some of the reasons why some of the events. You're going to find, as you study anything, that people do not agree about the facts. The facts are indisputable, but the application of the fact is another issue altogether. What does it mean? That falls in the area of interpretation. And so when it gets down to the issue of interpretation, that's open to discussion. But facts are not open to discussion. A fact's a fact. And you just have to deal with the facts. Now, fact number one, there is a conspiracy. There is a conspiracy to bring about a one-world government, because they are conspiring against the Lord in Psalm 2 and his Christ, his Messiah. And that has to do with the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. We do know in Revelation chapter number 13 that when the beast arises, that the dragon or the devil will give him his seat and his authority and his power. It comes straight from Satan. Now, I've taken this information from as many different sources as I can. One of the things that you want to look for in anyone that does any research, if you find somebody that does all their research based on one man's work, bottom line is essentially all that is plagiarism. And that's not what we're about here today. I want to get as many different sources as I can and to give to you when we deal with issues like this, because they're very important. And the capital of the United States is a very important issue, because that's the seat of the federal government. So now, this is taken from the Cutting Edge website, and it is a preview of what went about before the Capitol was ever laid out and built, and is continuing to be built. And here's what it says on the Cutting Edge website. It said, had you stood on the water edge of Foggy Bottom. Foggy Bottom is a geographical location in Washington, D.C. On April 3rd, 1791, you would have witnessed a remarkable event, one which seems to have been involved in the magic of the building of Washington, D.C. On the morning of that day, there would be an eclipse when the sun would be blacked out by the body of the moon. The eclipse of 1791 was in Aries. This is one of the 12 signs of the zodiac. Don't be dismayed by the signs of the heavens. In the book of Jeremiah, it's very plain. I'm not going to get off on all of that this morning, but I'm not up here teaching astrology. Please, you know, don't jump on one thing and run with it and think the preacher's teaching astrology. I am not. I am quoting their source. And the eclipse of 1791 was in Aries. A certain portent that the destiny of Washington, D.C. would be filled with pioneering endeavor and excessive enthusiasms. The augury of that morning was remarkable. The sun and moon were not the only pair in Aries at that time. No fewer than five of the known planets were in that zodiacal ram. The sign which favors brave undertakings, such cosmic curiosities, are a sign that the city had begun in a kind of dreams and a vision. This is a quotation. I'm sorry I can't give you the quote, but the source of the quote, but this is a quotation from a work that was written in 200 years ago. In reference to the fact that when the Washington, D.C. was laid out, it was laid out by people who watched very carefully the movement of the stars. Now, I know that you're taught in school that that's old, archaic, passed away, all that stuff is not relevant for modern man. That's a bunch of garbage. There are people out there who look at that every day of their life, and there are secret societies who base their next movement on the movement of the stars. Indeed, America seems to have been started by occult Freemasons who were following the dream of Sir Francis Bacon, a spouse from 1590 to 1626, that North America should be established as a new Atlantis. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Atlantis? A so-called mythological city that sank beneath the sea, inhabited by a race of advanced beings. All right, Plato talks about Atlantis back in the golden age of the Greek philosophers. Did Atlantis ever exist? Well, there's a great deal of controversy one way or the other, whether it existed. But don't jump on either side, you know, quickly and say you do or do not believe that Atlantis existed. For example, the Atlantic Ocean is taken directly, the name of it, from that location. Sir Francis, and this is the establishment. Listen to the New World Order author Elizabeth Van Buren, writing in her book, The Secret of the Illuminati. And now here's what she says. Sir Francis Bacon had formed, with the aid of his secret society, the plans for the colonization of the Western Hemisphere. That's where we are, the New World. There is a secret and immutable destiny planned for mankind, one not recognized or dreamt of by the mass of humanity. And I can say this to you this morning, and you'll see it as we continue to study. The mass of humanity is irrelevant. Just put that down in the back of your mind. They are irrelevant. This world is run by the elite, a select chosen few, a group that puts on a show for the mass, but the actual power resides in the hands of just a few. And the mass of humanity goes to the polls and they'll vote, but their vote is not for who they think they're voting for. So The northern continent of America had been decreed to be the land of a democratic commonwealth of states thousands of years before Columbus ever sailed to its shores. Now that's quite a statement. There can be no doubt that the enlightened ones had a hand in the formation of the new nation. Thomas Paine, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and countless others who were involved in signing the Declaration of Independence were all Freemasons or members of secret societies. The designs for both the Great Seal of the United States and earlier the flag of the colony indicate that they were inspired by those with esoteric knowledge. Esoteric means hidden, inward, knowledge. Now we know that Satan had planned for the United States to be founded according to his occult lore as the new Atlantis. Atlantis was the mythical city in which all of its inhabitants were expert practitioners of the occult doctrines, so adept that their third eye actually became physically apparent. You remember the third eye? You remember we talked about that in the Kundalini yoga and in the yoga practitioner, the eye, that the pineal gland is right in the center of the skull, the pineal gland. And that by developing spiritual perception and spiritual ability, the initiate becomes, gains the ability to see through that eye into a spiritual world. And this is not saying I approve of it. This is not saying I tell you to do it. I'm trying to just lay out for you what these people believe and to show you how serious they are about this. That eye is a very important thing because that eye shows up time and time again. For example, on the back of a $1 bill, you have an eye, all right, the top of that pyramid. That is probably the eye of Horus. And Horus was the son of Isis and Osiris. Osiris married her brother, and he died, and she raised him from the dead. And you see countless statues of this woman holding a baby in her arms or in her lap, and that baby is Horus. Comparative religion teaches at the University of Tennessee that that is where the doctrine of the virgin and the baby came from, was a continuation and a distortion and a perversion of the idea of Isis and Horus. They teach that everything that you believe in your Bible about Christ and the development of our faith and our Bible in the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing in the world more than an outgrowth of all of the pagan superstitions of the world. Now that's what they believe. They'll humor you and patronize you and lead you on like they respect you, but the bottom line is that they think you are a deluded dunce for believing what you believe. On the other hand, many of the professors in these colleges and universities belong to these secret societies that we're going to be talking about, where they take oaths that would blow your mind and sell their very soul to a spirit power that they don't even know. Yet they'll look at you like you're a fool when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? The human mind and human nature. But in any event, this new Atlantis was the mythical city in which all of its inhabitants, practitioners of the occult doctrines, the depth of their third eye actually became physically apparent. The United States was planned to be the new Atlantis that would lead the rest of the world to the occult heaven known as the New World Order. So it was already planned, laid out, when the nation was founded, in which their Christ would rule triumphantly for 1,000 years. How many of you ever heard of Adolf Hitler talking about the thousand-year Reich? You ever heard of that? And later on, we'll talk about where Adolf Hitler got his doctrine and his faith and what he believed and what the SS believed and what they intended to do. But in any event, 1,000 years. Francis Bacon, beginning in the early 1590s, began the detailed plans by which North America would be colonized. He was the supreme adept in the Rosicrucian Society. Here's another secret order that means the Rose Cross. And established the super secret Knights of the Helmet, a society established along the lines of Rosicrucianism. And finally, Bacon was responsible for the modern birth of Freemasonry, as detailed by Masonic author George V. Tudhope in his book Bacon Masonry. And so we can see that there's a direct connection with the Masonic Lodge. And let me say this about the Masonic Lodge again, so nobody will misunderstand me. There's probably a lot of born-again people that are Masons, love the Lord. And my former pastor was a Mason. I don't know how high he was, but he never went to the lodge. He'd get up and preach to them Sunday after Sunday after Sunday for not. He said, "You come to church and I'll go to the lodge." Of course, I don't know how he was preaching to the ones who didn't come to church, but in any event, that's what he did. He was a Mason. There's a lot of people out here who are Masons that don't have a clue of what's above them. Because it's an organization that you continually ascend into. You're rising higher. And the higher you rise, the more light you get. But that light is not light. That light is darkness. So if you're a Mason in here this morning, I'm not up here to condemn you. I'm up here, hopefully, it'll excite your desire to learn more. And go be as the Bereans did. And I challenge you on all the stuff that I give you. Be as the Bereans. See if these things are true. Put it to the test. Find out. Thus we see the occult activities of our original occult forefathers mentioned above was merely the outworking of an occult plan originally conceived thousands of years before Columbus ever sailed. Masonic forefathers are merely following the details of the occult plan as envisioned specifically by Francis Bacon, 1590, operating under the vision provided him by his guiding spirit. And I think that's quite remarkable that the term guiding spirit is brought out. For Alice Bailey, in the Theosophical movement, the Theosophy, she said this. Bailey wrote that behind all human evolution, and there's the evolution again, stands a brotherhood of enlightened souls who have guided and aided humanity throughout history. For Bailey, the evolution of humanity was intimately bound up with its relationship to the spiritual hierarchy. She believed that the stimulating and uplifting influences of religions, philosophies, sciences, educational movements, and human culture in general are the result of this relationship. And though in time humanity debases all these developments, they are all in their original impetus conceived as the result of the spiritual hierarchy working concert in evolution. All New Agers, all Hindus, all Hindu mysticism has a guiding spirit. It has a spirit that these people tap into that gives them understanding and enlightenment. They are guided by a spirit. The thing that makes you different from them is that if you are born again, you've got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he said, will guide you into all truth. The reason he said that is because, set that in contradistinction to the fact that there is untruth. He will guide you into the truth as opposed to the lie. And you can't find it on your own. You can't discern it with mental ability. You must have the ability to discern by the Spirit truth and error. And this is not new. 2,000 years ago, when the New Testament was written, the canon of Scripture was being formed, the early New Testament believers knew the difference between a lie and the truth. This is why they threw out the Gnostic Gospels, the pseudepigraphic writings, the Apocrypha, and all that stuff. They threw it out. They rejected it. And they came up with 27 books of the New Testament and 39 of the Old. Gave them 66 books of the Bible. That's not an accident. It didn't just happen overnight. It was the work of prayer and fasting and seeking the face of God because they knew how important it was to hand down to you the Scripture, the Word of God. There is only one source of absolute truth on this planet. And it's that book. Now, you'd be amazed at the people who don't agree with that. They go to church every Sunday. But in any event, we know that Sir Francis Bacon, according to this doctrine, according to this, was instrumental in establishing a North American continent where Western civilization could flourish. And the reason for that flourishing of Western civilization you've just seen recently come out. I'm going to jump ahead because I think it's necessary for you to realize just exactly what's going on. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the Da Vinci Code? Some of you have seen the movie. All right. The Da Vinci Code. What's it about? What's it really about? How many of you in here this morning would say that it is a direct assault on the faith? Do generally, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ, and God forbid, married Mary Magdalene, or she was his whatever, paramour, and they had children. The children of Mary Magdalene and the Lord Jesus Christ went west into France to begin with. There they formed the Merovingian bloodline, which was a royal bloodline tracing their lineage all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed, therefore, that they had divine royal blood in their veins. They were given a divine charter to rule the world. This is where you get the real blue blood. You get the idea of an elite super race of people who are destined to rule mankind. And the group was called the Priory of Zion. Now, this mythological idea was proven to be false. Dan Brown was not original with it. He tapped into the work of a Frenchman who lived about 100 years ago, and the work of the Frenchman who brought all this stuff up was proven to be false. Time and again, the accusations made in the movies have been proven to be false, yet it's never been brought out to the public to show them that it was false. And, of course, the reason for that is because they have an agenda. What's the agenda? The agenda is to destroy the true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ so that this occult world can develop this new world order that they're working at right now. And as long as they can keep the masses ignorant, and they've done a good job of that in the last 50 years, they've kept them ignorant. If they can keep the masses ignorant, then they're going to be able to do exactly what they want to do. I think it's a strange thing, too, that the head of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, that Frenchman up there in New York that was accused of sexually assaulting this maid that was cleaning his room, now it's just come out in the last few days that she's a prostitute and that the whole case has collapsed and that now they're starting a movement in France to make him the president of France, because he was supposed to be, before all this happened, he would probably become the next president of France. And that the other day Sarkozy, who is the current president of France, I watched a video the other day, he was walking down a line, you know how they walk down a handshaking line, and a big hand reached up and grabbed a hold of him and jerked him just like that. The president, that big hand grabbed him and jerked him, and then about 2 seconds later, five or six men were on top of the guy that did it. I thought this is quite a remarkable thing, because France, Spain, Great Britain, the United States, and Germany, the major Western European powers, will play prominently in the new world order. Have you ever asked yourself this question? What are we bombing Libya for? Seriously, what are they bombing Libya for? They just had a display of a million people gathered somewhere over there, and they were pro-Qaddafi. And they're walking in the streets and they say, what are you bombing us for? What are you killing our people for in Libya? NATO's doing this, you know, using another string, using another area. What are they doing it for? Has Libya attacked the United States? Just because the federal government does something doesn't make it right. I challenge you. Go home, type into Google and type this in. What are we bombing Libya for? And you'll be amazed at what comes up. You've heard of the Arab Spring, haven't you? The Arab Spring didn't just happen. This is all part of the New World Order. Now, I wanted to give you another source quickly. I want to read this to you, and then we're going to get into some monuments. I don't want to take up too much time with this, but I just wanted to try to lay a foundation for where we're headed, because we're going to wade off into the deep. This woman is a professor, and she's probably an atheist or an agnostic, so this is a good source. She's a professor, Karen Cockra, and she did research on Washington, D.C., on the symbolism of the buildings. And here's what she found. In this paper is proven that Sirius, that's the dog star, is the sun and is both the good God and the diabolic demon, and that the God of the world and universe is Baphomet, Satan. My. Through symbolic analysis, it's been proven that Washington, D.C., New York City, in the 2008 election are part of a mega ritual involving massive sacrifice, sexual connotations in the form of water. The implications of this paper is that symbols, words, sounds, shape, and color play a dominant role in shaping the reality that everyone experiences, and you're bombarded with it. This paper also confirms the existence, now listen carefully, of an exopolitical cabal, elite, and brotherhood. One of its fronts is Freemasonry, more specifically the ancient and free accepted Scottish Rite of the first three degrees of the Blue Lodges of Masonry. Ultimately, subliminal symbols and synchronicity is the path to finding out what this reality constitutes. And on she goes. This is a professor in a university who came to this conclusion by doing her own research. Ask you simple question. Generally, did what she say agree with what I read from Cutting Edge? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. It agreed with what I had just read from Cutting Edge. Here's another source. This is from the Kala Yahweh. And boy, you can get into some weird stuff about the name of God. El Infant, this is the Frenchman who laid out the grid, the street grid for Washington, D.C. The original planner of Washington, his chosen name means the child. He was an artistic and highly skilled Luciferic worshiping Mason from France. Worshipped Lucifer. Is there any way that I could say, what do you mean a Mason worships Lucifer? Is there anything that I've ever quoted to you, any source you could go back to that could say, well, there was a man you quoted from Morals and Dogma who said that, you remember? Albert Pike? See the connections? So this, I'm not saying at all that all Masons worship Lucifer. I don't say that for a minute, but what I'm trying to do is stimulate your thinking and make you dig a little further into it. So this Luciferic worshiping Mason France, the Masons state that Washington, D.C. is the most accurately designed city built from scratch in the world. Every street, circle, and squares. Intricate design contains numerous Egyptian, Assyrian, and Babylonian symbols and images of Satan. Major points of light, circles, squares, and especially the goat head of the Capitol and the White House were all established by celestial measurements of the sun, moon, and star charts. And on it goes. Now, I'm not going to take time to read all of it because I want to show you a couple of things. How many of you have got that pentagram in your hand? You've seen it. Do you know where that is? That's in front of the White House. That pentagram is in front of the White House. It's laid out in the street pattern. That's quite a coincidence, don't you think? The pentagram is a very powerful symbol in Satanism, Luciferianism, and the occult world. The pentagram is all over Washington, not just here, but it is definitely in front of the White House. As you can see, there are some 666s attached with this. I can name you three times that 666 shows up in Washington, and it shows up more than that. 666. Number one, when the Capitol was built, it was built on 600 acres of land originally set aside to build the federal Capitol. All right? Each one of these 600 acres was set apart in a single division as an acre. They were numbered starting with 600. 601, 602, 603, 604, and so on. Guess what the number of the square where the Capitol of the United States was built. Got that right. So I don't believe that, preacher. Go check it out. I challenge you, go check it. I checked it, double checked it, triple checked it, quadruple checked it, checked my checking, and checked my checking again. The capital of the United States is built on an original plot of 600 acres, starting with a counting of 600, and the number of the plot where the capital, and it takes up more than an acre, but the actual plot underneath it is 666. Washington's Monument. Everyone knows what Washington's Monument is. It's an obelisk. Most people do not have an idea what an obelisk is. It's very embarrassing to say some things in church, and I'm not going to. But I would challenge you to do your own research and just type in obelisk, and it'll pop up in your face 100 times. It'll tell you exactly what an obelisk is. The obelisk in Washington, which is the Washington Monument, has on top of it a pyramid. That in itself is another symbol. But that obelisk stands 555 feet above ground. But it doesn't stop there. That obelisk continues on down into the ground. Because if you're going to raise something up 500 feet, you better have a foundation under it. Guess how far down it goes into the ground? 111 feet. Now, there's some controversy about that, so go check it. Check it out, double check it, and you'll find that the people who believe that it's 111 feet below the ground outweigh the people who don't believe. So it gives you a measurement of what? 666. Now, knowing the Holy Bible says in the book of Revelation that 666 is the number of the beast, I would have made it 670 feet. That's just like that woman offered me change, and my change was $6.66. I said, no, it ain't. I'll never forget that. That was at the Cracker Barrel. I said, I want some candy or something. And I got it. No, sir. Keep your $6.66. In other words, I don't want to be identified in any way whatsoever with a number 666. Why would you? Why would you? See what I mean? Why would you? Now, this pentagram that I've given to you has some circles on it. You notice the circles at the top two horns? You've got Logan Circle, you've got DuPont Circle, and in the center you have Scott Circle. Now, I know all of you don't have one, but I'll try to hold this up to show you. Here's Logan Circle, here's DuPont Circle, and here's Scott Circle. Three circles. They have, each one of them, blow your mind, guess how many major roads they have coming into each one of those circles? Six. That gives you 666. That's a coincidence. Are you saying, preacher, that the capital of the United States is demonic? No. No. There are plenty of fine Christian people that love the Lord that work up there every day of their lives, that going in and out of that thing, going out of the Pentagon, all that? No. Do you think the United States of America is demonic? No. A great awakening swept this country back in the 1700s, one of the greatest revivals ever come upon mankind. It came to this nation. It was God Almighty moving in this country. No. What I am telling you is that there was a mind, a purpose behind the establishment, the laying out of the United States of America and this, the capital of the United States of America. And this pentagram is not an accident. There's a reason for it being there. In front of the Capitol building is a hexagram. I don't have it on paper to show you this morning. That's a six-pointed star. The Star of David is what? It's a hexagram. It's a six-pointed star. Have you ever heard of a witch casting a hex on somebody? All right, hex. Origen had what was called the Hexapla. It was a document that we go back and we got in manuscript evidence, and we compare the columns of the Hexapla, and it gives us what we've got, the King James Bible, because of what he had then. We can see how far back the text goes. And the hex means curse, as we find it in our popular usage, in populist talk, in our language today. Hex is six. Six, six, six. Hex, hex, hex. Curse, curse, curse. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 13, the Antichrist shows up in verse number 18. Chapter 13, verse 18. 3 times 6 is 18. When you get studying this stuff, it's amazing how that certain numbers begin to jump out at you. And you marvel at this because of the fact that these numbers, because apparently occultists put a great deal of stock in numbers. They're very important to them. Now, we're going to get back next week into some of the symbolism of some of the buildings in Washington, D.C., and bring in a lot of other stuff. We can get bogged down, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to move this thing along as quickly as I can, because you can walk into a forest and spend all day looking at one tree. So what you've got to do is to deal with this thing in as much a panoramic view as you can and move through it, and that's what I want to do, and it's to keep it before you. I wish you would, though. I wish you would go home and check out what I'm saying to you. And before you just dismiss me as some nut, go and check it out, and maybe it'll stimulate your thinking, and then you might get involved in it. You may be amazed at some of the connections that are made. For example, just recently the Bilderbergs met, didn't they? They did. Did you get invited? Okay. Know anybody that went? No, you don't. The reason you don't, because it's a very secretive society meeting. But here's the thing about it. This year, all these commercial companies began to pop up with the Bilderbergs. Yeah, companies that you buy your groceries from, that you buy your gas from, that you invest your stock market, you have invested your stock market with. Companies. Wonder what's going on. If you're going to control commerce, buy and sell, then you're going to have to be able to control that, right? Remember I told you how that Satan never puts all of his eggs in one basket. He doesn't do that. He never does that. And this may be one of the reasons that these super elite come together on a yearly basis, is if they can compare notes and compare where they are and plan their strategy for the following year and whatever else that they may want to do, because they're in different segments, different areas, controlling different parts. How many in this house this morning really believe that there's something going on that people don't know about, and that really that the government that you see is not really the government that governs? Amen. Well, that's good. That's pretty well universal. And so then the kind of thing that I'm talking about to you this morning doesn't, you don't take it as the pratings of a fool, but you think, well, maybe this guy's got something here that's worth checking into. Yeah. And I believe we have, folks. And I believe that the more we get into this now, we'll start showing you some dates and stuff they've got planned and some stuff that they intend to do, and show you how that we're getting down. We're getting down close to the end. Here's a pyramid. The pyramid's a big deal with them. The pyramid. You find pyramids popping up everywhere. Pyramid. We'll talk about that later on. Pyramid. All right. This is what's called the basic structure of the Illuminati. It's in a pyramidal form. The basic structure of the Illuminati. Now, a lot of people try to pass the Illuminati off as non-existent. It exists, folks. It exists. This is the basic structure. As you can see, it all leads up to a point at the top. As you can see, it has many, many, many different groups that belong to it. Some of the groups are dependent upon other groups. Some are totally independent of other groups. But they all belong to the same thing, the Illuminati. The word Illuminati means the enlightened one, or the wise one. The Lord doth know, God doth know, that in the day that ye eat of this fruit thereof, ye shall be as gods, enlightened, knowing. That's what he said, knowing good from evil. You'll be enlightened. And what did that give mankind? Nothing but damnation. The Black Brotherhood, the Red Brotherhood, the Great White Brotherhood, the Knights, all kinds of different organizations of Knights, Knights Templar, Knights Hospitaller, all this stuff. Clans, yeah, clans. A lot of them, no doubt, come under different headings that they're known by in the organization. In other words, they're known by you in one name and known by them in another name. All of it to deceive. Skull and Bones. Our last president was a member of the Skull and Bones. That was because he was at Yale. I read a thing the other day that said that only 15 people a year that's not very many, are initiated into the skull and bones. Which one was it, do you know? Victor Ash? He went to, where was he? Poland? Poland? Ambassador to Poland? In other words, if you belong to the big boys club, it pays. It pays when you go to court. Sure it does. There's two laws in this country, the law for you and the law for the elite. I firmly believe that. Yes, sir. There's two governments in this country, the government that you know about and the real government. And I believe that the United States of America is populated by many, many, many good, decent people who love the Lord, born-again Christian people. They're not demonic. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe He's coming back to get us. But I believe the governments of this world basically are anti-Christ. I believe they're anti-Christ. And I believe that when we're done with this, we'll be able to show that without question, that they are anti-Christ. And when we started this lesson this morning, I told you in the very beginning that the kings of this earth have set themselves in array against the Lord Jesus Christ, against the Lord and His Christ. And they have, and nothing's changed. So we'll pick it up again next week. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, I guess. If anybody has any questions or you want me to clarify something that I said, I'll be glad to try to help if I can. Yes, sir. Well, the word is a German word. Berg in Germany means mountain. Hamburg, you know, Berg in mountain means mountain in German. Berger is an off of that. It breaks off from that idea. I believe it was a family, from what I've been able to find. A family, just like the Rothschilds, and went to what it is now, because it's much bigger now than a family. Anybody else? All right. Folks, there's an awful lot of this stuff that just absolutely boggles the mind. And you can literally spend your... I don't know how many hours I spent this past week and have lined up for next week, and a lot of it's overflow and stuff like that. I've spent a lot of hours researching this stuff, and I'm beginning to sense something. I'm beginning to sense a spiritual onslaught that's different from anything I've experienced before. Pray for me. Satan does not like for you to get up and expose and give out the kind of stuff that I'm giving out. I'm not asking for sympathy. I expected it when I started. I'm not new at this, but I need your prayers, because we are in a battle, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty unto God, pulling down.